Polls consistently show most Americans want the Security Council to back any war in Iraq. The latest CNN Gallup poll finds that 40% of Americans approve of going to war without UN approval. That number jumps to 80% if another UN resolution is passed. Yet asking the Security Council to approve a war is a fairly new idea. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with UN historian Brian Urquhart.
Having seen the Security Council authorize military action in Afghanistan in 2001, remembering how it took a leading role in the Gulf War, and knowing that the Korean War was a UN operation, it's easy to forget that the UN has almost never authorized military action against aggression. Brian Urquhart joined the UN Secretariat when it was created in 1945 and spent 12 years as an Undersecretary General. He says the first 45 years of the Security Council amounted to a standoff between Cold War superpowers.
The Council was extremely limited during the Cold War in what it was prepared to take on, simply because one or other of the permanent members was likely to veto actions they didn't like. But it did do some very useful things, because it was the last resort for the powers of East and West when they were verging on a nuclear confrontation, whether it was the Middle East or the Congo or Kashmir, or indeed the Cuban Missile Crisis. They could go to the Council and publicly debate and try to climb down from an extremely dangerous position. Of course, the one exception to that was the first war the Council authorized, which was to stop North Koreans invading South Korea. That could get through because the Soviet Union at that point was boycotting the Security Council, and they never, incidentally, were absent for a second from the Security Council after.
Still, during that period of time, every single permanent member of the Security Council did, in fact, invade another country or go to war without going to the Security Council and getting its approval.
Absolutely, you bet. This was usually invoking Article 51 of the Charter, which is the one about the right to self-defense. I mean, for example, the United States invoked the right to self-defense when it invaded Grenada. And the Russians did the same thing with Czechoslovakia, Hungary, and so on. I mean, the French and British invaded Egypt to topple Gamal Abdel Nasser in 1956. And it happened all the time. There was no way the Security Council could take it up because it would be vetoed by one or other of the permanent members.
What then did change? Things changed in the early 90s.
You know, when the Cold War ended, there was a sort of euphoric moment there, which I thought was a great mistake, when everybody threw their hats in the air and said, but now the thing is going to work as it was supposed to work, and all sorts of wonderful things will happen because there won't be any Soviet veto. And, of course, it did have a very high profile right at the beginning of the 90s, because the Council instantly declared an enforcement action against Iraq when Iraq invaded Kuwait. In fact, it was way ahead of the Congress of the United States in announcing that it would impose sanctions and, if he didn't withdraw, would make war on Saddam Hussein. And that was considered to be the classical example of what the Security Council was set up for, to deal with an act of aggression. And they intervened, actually, in all sorts of places, not always with great success. And I think the Council really rather lost its head. And that came pretty much to an end with the disaster in Somalia and the Council's sort of keenness to intervene, even in humanitarian situations, more or less vanished.
If the U.S., with Britain and its allies, invades Iraq without the imprimatur of the Security Council and with all this bad feeling that has built up over the months, how much damage would this do to the Security Council, if any?
I don't believe it. I mean, I've had this many, many times, and it's what people always say when the great powers can't agree on something. They say, my God, this is really going to do the Security Council in. I don't think that this is going to wreck the institution. There is a great fuss about what should be done now, and that will settle one way or another, with or without the Security Council. They'll still need a place to come to discuss questions of war and peace and threats to the peace in the future. In fact, probably more than ever, because now there are new threats.
Brian Urquhart is a former Undersecretary General of the UN. His memoir of that time is titled A Life in Peace and War. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.